This morning, strong German forces have entered or have been landed in these two countries. To cover these military operations, extensive mine barrages have been laid. While British and French military experts are still writing articles, wondering why Germany has not yet started a blitzkrieg on the Western Front, lightning-like actions of the German Defense Forces have informed Mr. Churchill and Monsieur Paul Reynaud that Germany is not prepared to allow Great Britain and France to infest the North Sea, the Arctic Sea, and Northern Europe with further strategic positions like Gibraltar, Malta, and Corsica. New Germany is determined to deal any power a decisive blow if that power stretches out its hands with the intention of throttling the German people. Germany has no quarrels with Denmark or Norway, but Germany has carefully studied the maritime history of Great Britain. She remembers Copenhagen in 1807. She remembers the seizing of Malta and Gibraltar. She remembers the bombardment of Alexandria in 1882, and she has not forgotten that England and France were making preparations to occupy the Balearic Islands during the Spanish Civil War. That attempt was frustrated by Italian watchfulness. Germany has for months been just as observant and alive to the danger which threatens all strategical points in Northern Europe that might serve as naval or air force bases for Great Britain and France in their war of destruction against Germany. Mr. Winston Churchill knows today that he has no longer any chance of repeating his exploits of Sydney Street, Antwerp, Gallipoli, and Murmansk. That versatile and agile amateur strategist is at last up against a leadership and a defense force of a people keyed up to a maximum of activity and having achieved the acme of technical perfection. They do not have to discuss the Blitzkrieg as a theoretical problem, because they are the human embodiment of that cleansing atmospheric phenomenon, the thunderstorm, which dispels the sultry atmosphere of intrigues and conspiracies, of political crime, and of indifference to human suffering. German motorized troops and tanks, which crossed the German-Danish frontier near Flensburg and Tondern at 5:15 a.m. this morning, are now on their way north via Appenrade and Esbjerg. Today at dawn, German troops landed near Middelfart on the Little Belt and occupied the bridge over the Little Belt. German naval forces have entered the Great Belt and landed troops at Korsur and Nieuburg. German troops and a German armored train have crossed the Baltic by ferry from Warnemünde to Gdansk, whence they are advancing northwards. The Vordingborg Bridge, connecting the islands of Zealand and Falster, was occupied at the same time. At dawn, German troops landed in Copenhagen. The citadel and the wireless station were occupied. Since 8 a.m., the whole town has been in German hands. The Supreme Command of the German Defense Forces further announced, the advance of the German troops northwards in Jutland and on the Danish islands is making rapid progress. The Danish government has instructed the Danish troops to offer no resistance. The German and Danish military commanders established contact during the morning. The occupation of the most important strategic points in the whole of Norway by German troops is progressing quickly. Units of all three branches of the German defense forces are successfully cooperating. At most points, the slight local resistance of Norwegian troops has ceased. On the air bases in Jutland and southern Norway, German Air Force units have landed. The Supreme Command of the German defense forces further announces, during the evening of April the 8th, German Heinkel bombers again attacked British naval forces lying at anchor in Scapa Flow with considerable success. Two capital ships, amongst them a battleship, were severely damaged by bombs. Three further heavy units were considerably damaged by explosions which occurred in the immediate vicinity of these ships. During April the 8th, extensive reconnaissance flights over the North Sea, as far as the 65th degree north, and over north and eastern France, were carried out by the German Air Force. Two British warplanes, a fighter and a Sunderland seaplane, were shot down. Two German planes are missing. This morning, the German minister in Copenhagen handed to the Danish government a German note explaining the attitude of the German government in regard to the plans of the Allies to extend the war to Scandinavia, and informing it that Germany will ensure the protection of Danish neutrality and of the security of Denmark. As a result of conversations between the German minister and the Danish Prime Minister and Cabinet, the Danish government decided, in consideration of the circumstances, to accept German protection with a diplomatic proviso and to agree to the conditions outlined in the German note. It is reported from Copenhagen that the whole city is perfectly quiet. The Danish authorities have promised their most loyal cooperation. The Danish radio is broadcasting its scheduled program, and the Copenhagen newspapers are being published as usual. No incidents have occurred in Copenhagen or during the occupation of Jutland. The Swedish press features the events in Denmark and Norway. The wise attitude of the Danish government has made a deep impression on the Swedish population. Swedish public opinion is convinced that the events in Norway will not lead to a more extensive conflict. In well-informed political circles in Sweden, the opinion prevails that Swedish neutrality is not menaced by Germany, so long as England does not attempt to violate it. Gerard Reichsender Hamburg, Station Bremen 1, Station Bremen 2, and Station DJB. This is the end of our news in English. Our next transmission of news in English will take place at 7:15 p.m. British Summer Time, and will be broadcast from Hamburg, Bremen, and DJA on the 31-meter band.